Welcome to Pillow Voices, a production of Jacob's Pillow Dance Festival with content from the Pillow Archives. I'm Norton Owen, the Pillow's Director of Preservation, and I'm greatly pleased to introduce Caroline Hamilton, one of our research fellows, who will be your host for this survey of the unique costume collections housed at Jacob's Pillow, primarily documenting the work of two seminal groups, the Denishawn Company and Ted Shawn and His Men Dancers.
My name is Caroline Hamilton, and I'm a dance and costume historian specializing in early 20th century dance. I grew up in Australia and knew about Jacob's Pillow from a young age. It was a place I always wanted to visit, and in 2017, I applied to be an intern in the archives. I was drawn by one thing in particular, a single sentence on the archive webpage, which mentioned that among the extensive items housed in Blake's Barn, the archive's home, were over 30 travelling trunks filled with original costumes from the Dennis Shawn and Ted Shawn and His Men Dancers companies. For the first half of my internship, I would periodically go down to the basement and look at these trunks, wondering what treasures lay within. Eventually, I was permitted to open one and conducted a brief spot check of the contents. From this, I created a proposal for the collection. In January 2018, I returned to a very snowy Jacob's Pillow and began a fellowship, the main objective of which was to rehouse and catalogue this mysterious collection and prepare some items for a summer exhibition at Williams College Museum of Art. This work was the next chapter in the long history of the collection. Shortly after I began my fellowship, I undertook an interview with Norton Owen, Director of Preservation, to better understand how this multi-layered collection came to Jacob's Pillow. I first asked Norton how these costumes initially came to be at Jacob's Pillow and where they were stored.
The way Barton tells it in his book, Ted Shawn took some things, which he was helping, Barton was helping Shawn bring back here to Jacob's Pillow, and Ruth St. Denis was retaining some things, but everything that they didn't want was, they made a huge bonfire. And, of course, they saw this as a kind of, I think what Barton explains was that the symbolism of this was not lost on any of them, that, in a sense, Dennis Shawn was going up in flames. And, but the things that they had, that Barton and Shawn put aside to come to the Pillow, the trunks that they had, have been here now ever since. They've been in various different places on the grounds, and of course that's part of the story too, about where they've been kept, how they've been kept. But of course the primary thing is that they have been kept. So the point is that we have all of these things that date back to the time when they were used, actively used as costumes. They were stored with a purpose in mind, and that main purpose being for possible reuse. Certainly all during the Denishawn period, one of the things that that was quite common was reusing a costume or repurposing it in some other way. So, I think the fact that Shawn and Barton had decided that these things, that there was still life in these. I mean, I would say it's very unlikely that they would have been saving them for sentimental reasons or historical reasons. I think the purpose for saving them was with the idea that they could use them again in some way. But I will say that, you know, by the time I got here in 1976, they weren't really, even though the purpose they'd been kept for was possible use in other dance works, they were not really being used anymore at that time. And I think there were, the attitude about them from the people who knew that they existed was like, wow, there's really cool stuff in these trunks. But they were not secured in any way. I can remember looking through them, like, oh, look at this great stuff. Who even knows it's here?
Over time, costumes from Ted Shawn's Men Dancers Company, 1933 to 1940, were added to the collection, with many of these being made at the Pillow. I asked Norton about the first time the costumes were displayed. This would be the first of over 100 exhibitions that Norton would curate at the Pillow.
1977, which was the first summer that I was on staff. 1976, I was a student, and I started working for the Pillow right after that. But in 77, I was working in the box office, and we opened that season with the Joyce Trisler Dance Company doing a one performance of a program called The Spirit of Denishawn. And it was they had worked with a Denishawn dancer named Klarna Pinska. And she staged a number of different works for them. We showed it that one night. And, you know, for reasons now that I can only think of as being kind of built into my own interests, that I knew, because we were doing this program of Denishawn works and that we were doing them here, and that I knew that we had these costumes, I just had this feeling that more people needed to know this, that it was something that was exciting, that how would it be any different? I mean, this was a program, The Spirit of Denishawn, that was performed other places. They toured all around the country. Well, that's fine. Great that they're making it seen other places, but here it was special. I mean, here it made it had a real connection. But if you don't share that connection with people, if you don't make them aware of that connection, then it's just like any other place. So it seemed to me the way you made that connection was like, we had these costumes, we should show them. So, you know, nobody empowered me. I mean, I suppose I must have asked permission at some point along the way, but I just had this idea that what we should do would be to put some of them on display in the studio. And in those days, the audience was allowed into the Bacalar studio at intermission, and we would have exhibits of John Lindquist and John Van Laan both, who were both still photographing here at that time, would put up some of their photos. And they would usually make one display at the beginning of the summer that would be up for the entire summer. But I thought, well, as long as people are going in there, that would be the place that we could set up some mannequins. So I borrowed some mannequins from the department store in Pittsfield. Pittsfield still had a department store then called England Brothers. What sticks in my mind is that I had three mannequins. I don't know really anymore if that's true or not. I'm looking for photographic evidence because I think I did take a photo or two of the costumes. And I just chose some that I thought were interesting looking. I didn't know what any of them were from, and put them in the studio.
In 1981, Norton got the idea to create an inventory of the trunks and costumes together with Jacob's Pillow costume designer, Charles Schoonmaker, also known as Chip.
You know, there was quite a lot of just hard physical labor, I would say, at that time, of lugging these trunks around. We got them out of the, I guess many of them at that time were, well, they were divided between, some of them were in the trunk room, some of them were in the stage right loft area, which happened to be right above the costume room. So at any rate, what I recall is having them outside, I think because we took Polaroid photos also, and, you know, most of those, as you can see in looking at the photos, were taken outside. We laid some cloth down or something so that they would be protected. And I remember two other people who were involved. So it was Chip and myself, and then also, I don't remember whether it was for the entire time or maybe just a portion of the time, but Jane Sherman, who was an original Denishawn dancer, in 1981. So this must have been, it was at the tail end of the season in 1981. And Jane was here. Gosh, this is a really good question. So Vannevar Caravan was performing, and they were doing a work called Boston Fancy, which was a Shawn work and had been staged for them by Jane Sherman. So I think she must have come up in 1981 and 82. At any rate, you know, so we may have done this in two phases as well. But I remember that Jane was involved because she was helping us identify certain things. She just knew, first of all. But she had already written her book, The Drama of Dennis Shawn Dance, at that time. And there are a lot of photographs in that book. So it was great to have her on hand. And also Barton Mumaw was on hand, at least for part of the time. Again, in 1981, that last week of the season, Vannevar Caravan was doing Boston Fancy, but it was also, the program was called American Sampler, I seem to recall. And Annabelle Gamson was doing some Isadora Duncan work on that program, and Barton Mumaw was performing. Those were actually his final performances in 1981. So that and I don't want to leave out what Chip did was made sketches, and what we documented was any kind of notes that were in the costumes, figuring that would help us, making the inventory. As we made the inventory, oftentimes we wouldn't know immediately what something was. So we would, notate what we knew about it, describe the costumes, sketch them. Chip was making sketches as he went along. And then we would put, oftentimes it was initials that would be in the, sometimes full names, but oftentimes it would be initials. And those would help us figure out, oh, I see, from these initials, we know which dancers were involved, and that helps us identify. Then we had Christina Schlund's chronology, both of Dennis Shawn and of the men dancers, and those say what the casts were. It also has some photographs. So we're able to look at that and see, oh, okay, well, this was a dance for six men, and there are six costumes, and those initials in those costumes correspond to the ones in the chronology. That's what so that helped us figure out what was what.
Beginning in 1996, the trunks were moved in phases into the basement of Blake's Barn, which provided a more stable environment. In the early 2000s, a project began to line some of the trunks and wrap the contents in muslin and acid-free tissue. At around the same time, a smaller collection was donated to the Jacob's Pillow Archives.
In the early 2000s, and I do have some documentation here to attest to exactly when this was, we were contacted by Chuck Tomlinson, also known as Charles Tomlinson, who was a costume designer. And Chuck, knowing that we had costumes here and knowing that these costumes were not being well cared for at UCLA, suggested that maybe they should come here. How did they get to UCLA in the first place? Was Ruth St. Denis lived in Los Angeles, really from the 1930s up until her death in 68. So that's where they were with her. At some point, I think it was during her lifetime, I think they went, the costumes were transferred to UCLA. There's documentation of this also, because at one time, I can remember there was quite a bit of kerfuffle. They had these costumes. They were trying to figure out what to do with them. They were not a museum. They were a dance program. So they, at one point in time, had students wearing the costumes and had some kind of a costume parade or some kind of a, they were allowing them to be seen, And it's in our correspondence here, you know, when Sean got word that this had been done, he was outraged, you know, that students should be wearing these priceless costumes. And, so I don't think they ever did that again. But consequently, they really weren't put to any use. And so I think Chuck, knowing that, and knowing they had to do something with them, he didn't want to just see them get thrown out or, you know, be shoved off into deeper storage where they might get forgotten. It was his thought that sending them to the pillow would be the thing to do. So they came here, and many of those in those trunks were Ruth St. Denis costumes. So a little different than, different. They really have to be thought of differently than the other Denishon costumes that we had here. Because many of the ones that we had here before that were numbers of things, you know, were like core costumes, and, you know, which of course are interesting in and of themselves because those, you know, because they were worn by dancers other than St. Denis and Sean. Some of those dancers were people like Louise Brooks or Martha Graham or Charles Wideman or Doris Humphrey. And those names are in them also. I mean, one of the things I remember when Martha Graham was here in 1984, again, because we had already been through those trunks in 81, I knew that there were costumes that had her name in them, and or things that, even if they didn't have her name in them, they were from dances that she was in, so she might know them and she might, you know, recognize them. So I pulled some things out and had them laid out. And I remember she came into the, we had predetermined the time that this would happen, but there was a big, like, cutting room, you know, cutting table in the costume room. And so I had laid out some of these costumes as well as some photographs and other things for her to come in and look at. And this was a big event. I was very excited about having this moment. I had met her already, but this was my moment, you know, to be able to show her these things and get her reactions to things too. And I remember the way that she, you know, handled some of these costumes. She was really very touched by the ability to come into contact with these things again.
One of the highlights to be found in the trunks donated from UCLA was Ruth St. Denis's costume from The Legend of the Peacock. Here, Denis Shawn dancer Jane Sherman reads a section of Barton Mumar's autobiography, which she co-authored, recalling this costume.
Miss Ruth once succinctly revealed to me the importance of a tried and trusted costume, no matter what its age or condition. At a rehearsal of her Legend of the Peacock, I happened to look closely at the long, glittering train that represented the bird's tail. It was so bedraggled and filthy that I blurted aloud, "Why, in heaven's name, doesn't she have that cleaned?" Without missing a peacock strut, she answered in a penetrating tone, "Because, dear, in heaven's name, it would fall apart."
By 2018, the Jacob's Pillow collection now contained three distinct sections: costumes owned and worn by Ruth St. Denis, costumes from the Denis Shawn Company, and costumes from Ted Shawn and his men dancers. Norton ended our talk by introducing the 2018 cataloging project.
But I will just say in closing, now that Caroline Hamilton is here and is doing a really terrific job in cataloging these things, authenticating them, restoring them in some cases, safeguarding them, rehousing them. We will be clearly jumping to another level in the way we're dealing with these costumes. So, you know, and I hope all of this will be, of course, of use someday to researchers. And that, you know, we will continue to uncover more information about them.
Beginning in early 2018, I opened each of the 33 trunks. I was amazed at how bright and colorful the contents had remained, despite some things being packed away for over half a century. I found terry cloth robes worn by the men dancers, shoes, fans, and masks bought on tour, elaborate headdresses decorated with kingfisher feathers, a 1920s makeup box, and dozens of colorful notch skirts. Over the course of 7 months, I cataloged over 2,500 costume and prop items and used over 4,500 yards of acid-free tissue and 115 new acid-free boxes. The earliest costume I unpacked was Ruth St. Denis's Cobra's costume from 1906, as well as costumes from at least 37 different identifiable works. All of the catalogue records and quite a few photos of the costumes can be found on the archive's website, archives.jacobspillow.org. 83 of the costume items, consisting of 30 costume ensembles and 8 headdresses, were featured in the Williams College Museum of Art 2018 Summer Exhibition, Dance We Must, Treasures from Jacob's Pillow, 1906 to 1940. This was the first time in decades that many of these items had been seen, and certainly the first time they were all shown together in a museum setting. In the summer of 2019, some of the material was revisited and recontextualized in the exhibition Dance We Must, Another Look, mounted in Blake's barn at Jacob's Pillow. And of course, now that the collection has been fully catalogued, more access to these treasures will be possible in the future. It has been an incredibly exciting journey for me to help bring these costumes out into the light after so many years. So much history is embedded, quite literally in some cases, in them, and there's so much we can learn through looking at how they were made, as well as how they were worn.
That's it for this episode of Pillow Voices. Thank you for joining us today. On behalf of Jacob's Pillow, we look forward to sharing more dance with you through the films, essays, and podcasts at danceinteractive.jacobspillow.org, and of course, through live experiences during our festival and throughout the year. Special thanks to the National Endowment for the Arts for helping launch this podcast series. Please subscribe to Pillow Voices wherever you get your podcasts and visit us again soon, either online or on site.